Our gospel for this morning is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Hear these words from the Sermon on the Mount. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Before I begin the message this morning, I just want to add to what Pastor John said in giving thanks to Seth for serving as organist this morning. Tom Mulliken had been scheduled to be our organist, but Tom ended up in the hospital on late Friday, and he will be discharged today and going to rehab over at Messiah Village, but we hold Tom and Jean in our prayer, and we are so grateful for you, Seth, for stepping in at the last minute and serving us today. So thank you. Thank you. Once again this morning, you'll find some teaching notes for today's message, although they're in a little bit of a different place. They're on the back of your bulletin, and I would invite you, as we go through this message together and prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper, to follow along and to write things down as you feel led to do so. I'd like to welcome you to this final week of our series, The Case for Christ. And I just have to say that as I look back over these last 4 weeks, I'm just so excited about all that we've experienced together in this series. We've had some great turnouts for the two showings of the movie that we had. Many of you have been part of small groups and Sunday school classes to discuss the topics, and I'm certainly grateful to Tina Eaton, our Director of Discipleship, and all of those many people who've been involved in leading small groups and in numerous other ways. And I'm also looking forward to the event that you alluded to, John, as we join together in 2 weeks on Sunday evening and celebrate what God has done in and through our church as a result of the Case for Christ series. So this morning, as we conclude this series, we're going to watch what I believe is one of the most powerful scenes in the movie. And in this scene, Lee and Leslie Strobel meet a woman named Alfie in what seems to them at the time to be a chance encounter, and yet turns out to be the event that will turn their lives in a new direction. So let's take a look at this scene.
Thank you. Jesus, my husband and I want to return to the restaurant tonight. Something told me to be here.
Okay, so I'm not sure if you were able to see that real clearly with this beautiful, bright, sunny morning that we have, but Lee and Leslie's daughter had gotten one of those big gumballs out of a machine in the restaurant, and when it got stuck in her throat, she was choking, and the nurse, whose name is Alfie, came and actually saved her life. But also, did you hear what she said? It's not luck, it's Jesus. And perhaps you have found yourself in places where you did not expect to be, and you were there at just the right time to be with someone else in a time when they needed you to be there. Now, this scene is just the beginning of a beautiful relationship that forms between Alfie and Lee Strobel's wife, Leslie. And after this, as we continue on through the movie, they have many conversations, and Alfie invites Leslie to church. And eventually, through her involvement there in church, Leslie comes to know Jesus. And then God uses Leslie to impact the life of her resistant husband, Lee. And today we know that God is still using Lee and Leslie through preaching, through books, through this movie to impact countless lives. And when I think of that scene in the movie, I realize that Alfie had no idea the impact that her words about Jesus would have on this couple and on thousands of other people across the years. Now, what I'd like us to focus on today is that God wants us to impact others in the same way, and how just a simple word or an act of care can have a ripple effect that will impact others in ways that we may not even yet imagine. Now, there's a couple of things that, as we move into this scripture lesson, are true about us as disciples of Jesus, and you can see that in number one in your notes. It says, disciples of Jesus are no different from anyone else. You look at Alfie, and she's just another nurse available in an emergency situation. You know, Jesus came into this world like everybody else. Growing up, he looked like all the other boys in Nazareth. There was nothing extraordinary about his appearance. And the same was true for his disciples. You can't tell a disciple of Jesus by the way they dress or the style of their hair. Disciples of Jesus, in one sense, are no different from anybody else. And so whenever we share our faith with someone, we are doing it from a place of common ground. We do it from a place of our own shared humanity. We recognize that we are all sinners in need of God's grace, and we meet people where they are. In some way, disciples of Jesus are no different from anyone else. But as it says in number two in the notes, disciples of Jesus are radically different from anyone else. We know that Jesus was fully human, but we also know that Jesus was unique. He was the Son of God. In Jesus Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And as disciples of Jesus, when we have a relationship with Jesus, then we are different. Our values are different from the world's values because the values of Jesus are different from the world's values. When Christ dwells in you, the differentness of Jesus is reflected in the way you live. So on the one hand, disciples of Jesus are no different, and yet we are radically different. And it's important to keep that in mind when we think about the influence that we are called to have on the lives of others around us. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus lifts up these two great images to help us understand who we are as disciples of Jesus, how we are similar and different. And first of all, he says in verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth." He doesn't say you should be salt. And he doesn't say, well, someday you will be salt. He says that when you follow me, you already are the salt of the earth. It's a statement of fact. And as we let that sink in, that reality of being salt, we remember all the many, many things that salt is good for. And each of them will suggest something about who we are called to be as disciples of Jesus. First of all, salt is a precious commodity. It's a precious commodity. Back in Jesus' day, salt was extremely valuable. You know, it was said back then that all roads lead to Rome. And those roads were constructed largely to transport salt from the mines back to the city because salt was in such high demand. Sometimes Roman soldiers were paid in salt. In fact, our English word salary comes from the Latin word for salt, sal. And that phrase, "they're not worth their salt," started with the Romans. And it means they're not worthy of what they're being paid. The world so badly needs salt of the earth people. The world needs merciful people. It needs people who hunger and thirst for peace in this world. And so when we say you are the salt, we are saying you are important in this world, and your influence in the lives of others makes a big difference. Salt also creates thirst. Whenever Betsy and I go to the movies, I don't get the popcorn. Because when I eat popcorn, then I get thirsty. And when I get thirsty and buy a drink, then about halfway through the movie, I have to miss part of it. So salt creates thirst. In the same way, Jesus says that his disciples are people who create a thirst for God. People see how you live. They see the way you are, how you give, the peace in your soul. And it creates in them a thirst for God. Another thing salt does is that salt adds flavor. Salt is widely used to enhance the flavor of food. In fact, without it, food can taste pretty bland. Have you ever picked up a salt-free pretzel? Who eats those things? Salt-free pretzels are just not the same. And Jesus says the world would be bland without my disciples. When we love, when we rejoice, we are a dynamic presence in the world. And salt also melts ice. When winter comes and the parking lot and the sidewalks get icy, we'll have these containers of salt around the building so that we can melt away the ice and it's safe for people to come and go. If you watch the movie, The Case for Christ, one of the powerful ways that Leslie touched the wife of her husband Lee was by her continuing love and care for him. And through that, it melted the hardness of his heart. And he was open to embrace Jesus. And so the way we are, with the people around us, when we reflect the Spirit of Christ, softens hearts and opens the way for relationships. Salt also heals. There are healing properties in salt. After having dental work done, the dentist will tell us to rinse our mouths out with salt water. The salt water in the ocean helps to heal cuts and scrapes, and salt of the earth people, Jesus says, are also a healing presence in this world. Salt also is a quiet influence. If you mix a pinch of salt into your food, you can't see it, but you know it makes a difference. And when we're living our lives in the way of Jesus, we are quietly influencing the people around us. Followers of Jesus, you know, should not just hang out with church people. We should put ourselves in places where we are around those that we can influence with the love of the Lord Jesus. And then one more thing about salt is that salt preserves. And I saved this one for last because in Jesus' day, this was the most important use for salt. You know, Jesus lived in the PR time, pre-refrigeration. And the Middle East is a hot climate. Fish and other meat would not last long without something to preserve them, and so salt was put on the meat so that it would not spoil. Now, you can probably think of more things that salt is good for, but Jesus gives us this powerful image of who we are in relationship with Him. He says, "You are the salt of the earth." And why does the world need salty Christians? Well, it's because the world is corrupt. There's a lot of corruption in this world. There is so much that separates us from God. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus says. But then in verse 13 it continues. It says, if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. So let me ask you, how do you keep your saltiness as a follower of Jesus? Well, there are many ways that we can do that. This Case for Christ series has brought home to me again one very important way that helps you and me to stay salty. And it's so important for us that we be surrounded by others who know and love Jesus. We need support. We need encouragement. We need accountability in our walk with Christ. I think of the relationship that Leslie had with Alfie. I think of Lee's relationships with coworkers and people he interviewed and his wife and how that led him to Jesus. And I wonder, who is it in your life that helps you to stay salty in your relationship with Jesus so that you, as His follower, are making a difference in the world around you? Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. And then He goes on to say, you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. Now notice the two kinds of light that Jesus talks about here. First of all, He talks about the light of a beacon, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. You know, a beacon shines a big, bright light that illuminates the darkness for long distances. The bright lights of the big city can be seen for miles. And in the same way, Jesus says, the light of the church goes forth in this world. Together, we reveal to the world the love of God. You are a beacon, he says. And as you give and as you serve, and as you bring the light of food and shelter and healing and hope in your relationships with each other, you are as a beacon of light shining in this world. But at the same time, Jesus says you're not just a beacon, you are also a lamp. Now, the light of a lamp doesn't shine as far and wide as a beacon does, but a lamp's light will illumine places that cannot be illumined by that big, bright light. A lamp light illumines your home and your classroom and your office and those places where you go from day to day, being the light of Christ. This is what we teach our children to sing about, isn't it? If you know this song, maybe you could sing it along with me. We'll just do one verse of it. Are you ready? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And I wonder where it is that God is calling you to let your light shine. On a grand scale and in day-to-day life, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And it's important that he describes us in this way. The world needs light because the world is dark. But it only takes a little light to illuminate a very dark place. Just imagine how dark the world would be were it not for the light of those of us who follow Jesus in this world. The Apostle Paul says in writing to 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, "For it is God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' who has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So how do you keep your light burning brightly as a disciple of Jesus? Well, one of the ways that we keep our light burning brightly, according to the Apostle Paul, is by being exposed to the light of Jesus. Exposure to the sun, S-O-N. And one of the most important ways we do that is in our Sunday worship. When we come together to soak in the radiance of Christ, so that in our day-to-day living throughout the week, we can reflect that light in big ways and in small ways to others. You are salt, Jesus says. You are light, Jesus says. Two powerful images that describe how we, as disciples of Jesus, are common humanity with others, but at the same time, radically different in a way that influences the world. You see, we exist as a church to influence the world for the glory of God. And I think on this World Communion Sunday, about brothers and sisters gathered around the world at the Lord's table, and how we are salt, and how we are light, and how together we influence for the glory of God. I'd like to ask that we would read verse 16 together so that we can see it with our eyes and hear it again with our ears. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Friends, you are called. Just as surely as that nurse at the restaurant with Lee and Leslie rescuing their daughter was called. You are called to influence the people around you for Jesus. You are salt. You are light. So be salty and burn bright. Amen.